internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to the Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal on LA Talk Radio.
That's right. It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here in LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show. My guests all this hour, one is returning to the show for the umpteenth time, and I love to have her. The other is making her debut, and they are both part of a new show coming up on March 27th through the 30th called Giving Voice. Please welcome to the Sheena Metal Experience. The wonderful Kat Kramer is returning to the show and making her debut, Skye Palkowitz. It's so great to have you both here, and thank you so much for being here.
Wow. Thanks so much. It's awesome to be here again.
Yes. So how have you been since your last time here, Kat? You always have a million things happening.
I still do. I don't even think I can remember everything I'm doing.
a little known interesting fact. I think that you and I are probably the busiest people in Los Angeles.
I totally agree.
And our birthdays are 2 days apart, right?
That's right, coming
so
up.
There's something about that Aries thing that
we just
can't stop piling more projects on. I just wish there was like four of me that I could clone and they could all go out and do more things.
I'm thinking maybe I am a clone and just don't know it.
Oh, wow, yeah. Where do you think your other clones are?
I don't know, but somebody had recently said that they saw me or with me at some event, and I wasn't even there, but I just kept it.
Nice.
Yeah, sounds kind of cool
I
to
could
say
chime
that
in on that.
Because
are you a clone, Skye?
Well, I have many clones as well, but I know that Kat Kramer has clones because whenever I talk to her and, you know, ask her to go to an event, she says, well, I have four other events that night. So I know that she's been seen in multiple places all at once, and I wondered, was it clones, aliens? I don't know.
And I thought it was just me that went to four events in a night, but now I've learned that it's a thing.
I think this time it might have been a clone or an alien because I actually wasn't at the location, but I didn't tell the person because I don't want to disappoint them. It's like,
hey, if they think you're there, that's one more thing you got to go to without having to go.
She's so mysterious.
So, Skye, tell us a little bit about you since it's your first time on the show. Where are you from in the world, and what was sort of the thing that drew you into the arts and made you want to be a performer?
Oh, my gosh. Well, how many hours do we have?
We have 15 hours.
I'm originally from New York. I actually was born in Queens, and I lived there until I was five, and I grew up on Long Island.
Beautiful.
In a place called Ronkonkoma out on the eastern, on the way to Montauk and the Hamptons.
Sure.
And I called it Punk Rockama growing up.
Nice. And that didn't go over well.
Well, it didn't go over well with my very, you know, Jewish parents who were very old-fashioned. And I was growing up in the 80s in the height of punk rock.
Nice.
And, you know, making my trips into the city and seeing a lot of theater and growing up in the New York area and seeing Broadway for the first time, I'm sure, was a huge influence on me. And then being in an environment where there was so much arts education, I went to a very great school district, Sachem, on Long Island, for all those listeners in New York. I started theater at the age of 14. I did a show called Bye Bye Birdie.
Sure.
At my first audition, I got a standing ovation, and I knew at that very moment that that was the rest of my life I was going to spend on stage. So I think it really began age 14 doing theater, but I had sang from a younger age. I started singing at 8.
Wow, it really is, and I know we've talked about this a little bit, Kat, too, that there is that moment when you're on stage when you're young, and it's sort of almost like the universe looks you in the eye and says, this is what you do.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
I have always known, though, supposedly, like, according to my parents and my mom especially, that I came out looking for my Klieg Light, and I was a dancer, and I think the Music Man, actually, Skye said Bye Bye Birdie, the Music Man was the first musical I was ever in, and it was like a local theater production in Seattle, Washington, which is where I was growing up. And that's when I, you know, I already had known, but that's when I said, like, for sure, this is what I'm going to do. So, yeah, both of us at a very young age, we just knew, you know. And that's, I think in some ways that's rare because a lot of people find out later in life what they want to do. So, you know, once you're bitten by the bug.
I think even when they find out later, it's with that same sort of, it's never just like a, oh, I might try this. It's always something happens in your life, and then you think, that's it. This is what I do.
Some kind
and then
of
there's
spark.
This passion that fuels you, and continues to fuel you through your whole life, even though it can be very wacky in this crazy business.
Once I started on stage, I never stopped. That passion just grew and grew and grew. And I was also very lucky to have a supportive mother who drove me to auditions. And
yeah.
I started doing community theater and then professional theater and doing private voice lessons and, you know, private training. And then I became a performance artist doing avant-garde multimedia performance art inspired by Penny Arcade in New York City. I don't know if you... are, you know, familiar with her work, but she's very part of the underground scene. And when I saw her do a show called Bitch, Dyke, Fag, Hag, Whore, hope I can say that on the air.
Absolutely.
It rocked my life. It changed my life. And I was studying Shakespeare and classical theater at a conservatory in Delaware. And I saw her do this show, and I went, oh, that's it. I've got to become a performance artist. That's my calling.
So you see, it's another one of those moments,
right? Yeah.
Where the universe sort of tells you what, not to get too woo-woo, but where you kind of get that, oh, and this is also what you do, so now go do this. Now, did you stay in the conservatory, Sky, or did you wind up leaving the conservatory and going to New York?
I actually did leave the conservatory. I went to New York and decided I wasn't really ready for that, and I wanted to complete my master's degree in acting. So I then, after being in New York for a short time at age 21, after doing, you know, a couple of years in graduate school, went back to graduate school at the University of Iowa, where I got to teach. I taught acting for 3 years to undergraduates there, and I got to participate in their famous Iowa Summer Repertory Program 3 years in a row. And I was very attracted to that university because they were doing new and innovative works. And that's where I started writing my own one-woman shows and developing my own multimedia work.
Wow, wow. And it was really sort of making your own way. That was when you found sort of your home in the arts.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I've done musical theater. I've trained in classical theater and Shakespeare. And then there's, like, the avant-garde performance art. And you have to be in a place that nurtures that kind of work because it's very different. Once I started seeing solo shows and watching videos and being inspired by my classes, you know, teaching me who the greats were, like Laurie Anderson and Anna Deavere Smith.
Oh, sure, sure.
Rachel Rosenthal, who I then later on in life got to work with for 8 years. It was really, really inspiring. And I was one of the few grad students in Iowa who actually developed my own material for my thesis and did my own show instead of being cast in something like everybody else was, you know, just having their thesis thrown at them.
Right.
I created Alien Rhoda, my first one-woman show.
But don't you think that's an interesting, and I think we really are split in half as artists, that there are artists who just naturally fit into the system. They go to college, they get the roles, they come out, they get the agent, somebody casts them, and they wind up going into the system. And then there are artists, and I am one of these, that it just seems like everything I've ever done, I've had to make myself. We just sort of exist outside
yes,
of the castle.
Yeah. That's, you know, definitely me, too.
Right, and we have to make our own thing. Like, there's something about us that we just don't fit into. To the, you know, maybe it's also why no one ever picked me for cheerleading. I don't know. But we don't fit into that thing, so then we make our own. And I think as we, it's maybe like makes us cry when we're 20, but by the time you get to be a little older, you get to be in your 30s, then you realize, wow, I actually kind of like this because I can always make opportunity for myself.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing one-woman shows since I first moved back to L.A., and the new one that I'm getting ready to debut is definitely the most different one I've ever done. So I don't want to give too much of it away, but it's definitely a challenge, and I have to say I created it, even though I co-wrote it with somebody, Shelley Goldstein, and she's
wonderful.
Working, she's amazing, and she does all my parodies, and this time she's doing a whole show with me, but I created all the characters, the story, the journey. You know, it's all sprung from my imagination, and it's still evolving. So
it's
one of those shows that I think I can add to once it's launched. I can keep adding to the story and the premise and the characters.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Was Sky, were you ever, like, freaked out to be up on stage all by yourself doing untested material that was new? Or was it just sort of such a passion that it seemed natural to be there?
You know, I get complimented a lot when I'm on stage because I've done wild things from, you know, in this last show, for instance, I play 50 characters in 90 minutes.
Wow.
My show that I just premiered in New York in November, it was my off-Broadway premiere of Calling America, Don't Hang Up. And I flipping from character to character is kind of intense in a short amount of time.
Absolutely.
Aside from that, I've appeared naked on stage. I've done things where I'm wrapped in an American flag, naked with an alien mask and a laser gun in my hand. You know,
was that Alien Rhoda?
No, that was the first version of Calling America to Hang Up. Actually,
you do have an alien theme.
I do. I actually have an alien art museum, but that's a whole other
topic.
Oh,
that's a yes. Soon,
I'm a visual artist as well. But being on stage, I am nervous all the time until the very moment that the lights go on and I start speaking. I don't get freaked out until right before the show, and then I think, oh my gosh, I'm not going to remember my lines. How do I even do this? This is torture. This is such, you know, sadomasochism to expose yourself in front of people at your most vulnerable and naked points, to go from high comedy to drama and back again. And, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster every night you're on the stage. But I remember in New York in November, I was in a complete state of freak out up until the moment I started, and then everything kind of kicks in like channeling.
Yes.
And I wasn't there, and 90 minutes went by and 50 characters went by, and I know people were laughing and crying and really, you know, involved, but it was kind of like, I'm not there, I just let it happen. And what my mentor Rachel Rosenthal calls the genie in the room, the genie just takes over and magic happens. Mm-hmm. And because there's no other space than live theater where that can take place, it is the most exciting, wonderful place for me to be.
I get it, and I
totally
love that you said it like that, so now I don't have to worry about being too woo-woo around you guys at all. I really think that even when you're doing a play with other people, that there is a part of the channel that takes over, and it's why you don't remember a lot of being on stage. You remember little pieces of it afterwards, but you start, the curtain goes up, and you think, how in the hell am I going to do this for 2 hours? And the next thing you know, the curtain's going down.
Yeah, there's nothing like when you, just to jump in, when you have to do it yourself, as we know, when you're carrying the show just yourself.
And there's nobody to rely on.
Nobody to, which is a sense of freedom. You know, you don't have to worry about that, but you have to keep the audience engaged and just hope that they're following you, you know. And especially if you rewrite something or change it on the moment, you could throw yourself if you're not 100% in the zone, you know what I'm saying?
So, right, yeah. Right, exactly.
It's more dangerous as a solo artist, but it's also more thrilling because you have the freedom. And if you mess something up, you wrote it, so it's okay. You just kind of go with it. As if you're doing Shakespeare, you know, you don't want to switch anything around. It throws off the whole iambic pentameter.
Right, exactly. Right. Yes, right. But do you do that sometimes when you do solo shows, Sky? I mean, do you improvise sometimes?
Do I wing it? I do. I'll kind of just throw new things in when I'm feeling the energy of the audience.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
But I try to kind of stick to my script unless it's a purely comical improv show. But the material that I just dealt with was very, you know, had a lot of serious politics in it. So I couldn't really, you know, change names or wing it. It had to be, and it was also very timed. So, you know, I mean, it depends on the situation. But, yeah, I've done a lot of improv and performed at the Comedy Store and, you know, all over the place where I have no script whatsoever and I just go with it. And that's fun, too, but scary.
Right, because yeah. I always think of shows, I think the wonderful thing about solo performance is that you've completely rehearsed it, but you make it look like you're just making it up.
Yeah, so, mine's very scripted, I have to say.
But people can't feel it when they watch you, right? They think up there being natural and saying, hey, welcome to my show, and now I'm going to tell a funny story. And it all feels so off the cuff, which is why it feels so good to watch it.
If you're doing it well, yes.
Yes, if you're doing it well.
One can only hope that it sounds natural and off the cusp rather than rehearsed and robotic.
Right, exactly. This guy, how did you wind up here? Because you feel like such a New Yorker to me.
Oh, yeah.
How'd you wind up in this
Hollywood,
wacky place?
Darling, Hollywood.
Oh, is that what it was?
Actually, it links back to Alien Rhoda. I have an art partner who was in Iowa. He's actually from Iowa. Jason Jen, who's flying through the air from New York to L.A. right now. And he was living here, and to make the long story short, he had been the videographer on my show Alien Rhoda back in college. And I was touring with the National Theater for Children in San Francisco, and that's the furthest west I had ever been because I've always been afraid of the earthquake, so I never thought I would be on the West Coast.
Right.
And being, you know, total New Yorker, everybody said, you don't want to go to L.A., you know, you won't last there. Nobody walks in L.A.
Right,
like
exactly.
The song.
Exactly.
And so he was out here, and I was in San Francisco, and we wound up uniting over a Thanksgiving weekend, and we spent 4 days together, and we just knew that we had to work together in some capacity. Our energy just clicked so wonderfully that when I was done with my tour, we were looking for an opportunity and a place to be together, and my idea was to turn Alien Rhoda into a feature film, and he was going to partner with me to do that. So I said, find a space in L.A. and I'll try it. I'll check it out. And I came out, and that was almost 15 years ago.
Wow.
I didn't know if I would be here 15 days or 15 years, but to this day, we've never yet done Alien Rhoda as a film.
Yeah, where's Alien Rhoda?
Oh, it's stuck somewhere in the archives of videotapedom. But we have done a whole other array of work, and I have over 100 videos on my YouTube channel that
wonderful.
He's worked on with me. And, you know, it just seemed like a great fit, and the weather is really a whole lot better than it is on the East Coast.
Yeah,
so
sure.
That's what brought me
Did
here.
He stay here, too?
He's still here, yeah.
Wow, so you guys both stay.
We still do performance art together.
Wonderful.
We worked with Rachel Rosenthal together. We created shows at Highways Performance Space together, and we create all over the place on the internet. We have a web series together. So, yeah, it's been working out. We created this unique partnership where we're always feeding each other's inspiration, and it kept me out here, at least for the last 15 years.
You know, for all the things that people say about L.A., that it's this and it's that and it's fakey and whatnot, there is a beautiful artistic hub here of lovely, talented people that just care about art and don't care about show business. And there is also a beautiful – this is a very forgiving town for new projects.
Oh, really?
You can write – absolutely. You can write a show about – something that they would stare at you in New York, they would laugh at you in San Francisco, they would spit on you in Seattle and put it up here, and people will come and it could do fantastic, and then all those cities want you back. There's something about LA, I think, because it is such a circus, that
yeah.
No matter what it is you're trying to do, it's okay here. There's not that sort of, oh, God, you'll never get that put up here. Everything seems to be okay here. And that's nice, I think. It gives people the freedom to create live things, to create web series, to create independent films that they might not have the guts to do anywhere else.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's why I'm doing it here, too, because you say you want to work it out of town, but this kind of gives you that same freedom.
Yeah.
Before going back east or, you know,
yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying.
And you can work it out of town can mean Silver Lake.
Right.
And then
right.
you can
Palm
take it
Springs,
to Hollywood.
Orange County.
Yeah, or Palm Springs. Or well, I don't know about Orange County. You could get lynched. But I grew up there. But you can, you know, there's so many different things that you can try out here. And I think that that's wonderful. I think this is a city that loves artists and is very forgiving to artists. And has sort of no pretentiousness, because all the pretentiousness is all tied around the studio system and the business. Outside of that, it's all freedom and fun.
And there is a surprising amount of great theater in L.A.
Yeah, people totally.
Always think that New York is the place for theater. And, you know, my mother still calls me from Long Island and says, why aren't you here in New York? Broadway is here.
Aww.
And I say, yeah, but, you know, to be able to do a project in Los Angeles, and if you're interested in any other medium than theater, such as film, TV, internet, you know, web series, this is the place where it can get turned into that.
Yeah.
And I think it just offers a lot of opportunities to be able to, you know, reach larger audiences through the mediums of, you know, of digital media than it is to be on stage. So, you know, it's just there's so much going on here, like the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, how long have both of you been involved in this?
It's my first time being involved, but Sky's very involved with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's coming up this weekend. It's our 21st annual festival, and it's going to be at the Electric Lodge in Venice, California.
It's wonderful.
Electric Lodge is an awesome space. It's the only solar-powered theater in the country, so we're going green, and this will be our third time there. And I got involved with the Los Angeles Theater Festival by meeting its founder, a woman named Adela Barnes, who is a very prominent, prominently known actress in the community. She's done a lot of film, TV, solo shows around the world. And this is her project and her baby that she started with another woman 21 years ago. And it grew into this amazing festival. It's a week long of shows and performances, producing solo female artists from around the country, sometimes around the world. We have about 20 performers over a course of 6 shows from the 27th through the 30th. I met Adila, and I just knew I had to start working with her in this organization because it's just a great not-for-profit that not only awards women in theater and, you know, honors their achievements, but produces women and gives them a voice.
It's wonderful.
And we also do a lot of educational outreach. We've worked with over 3,000 youth in the Los Angeles community, and we've worked with imprisoned women and with seniors and with veterans. So it's just an amazing organization. And this particular set of shows this year, we have a gala on Thursday the 27th, and it's being hosted by Ted Lange from The Love Boat.
Ooh.
And Starletta Dupois. And then we have shows on Friday night, 2 on Saturday, and 2 on Sunday. And on Saturday, Matinee is the show that Kat Kramer and I are going to be co-hosting. It's at 3 p.m.
And I have to come.
Yeah, and I wanted to get Kat involved because of just all the amazing work I've been seeing Kat do over the years.
Sure.
You know, she's somebody who empowers the female voice and women artists and women all over the world and people all over the world, and that's what we're about also. So we have a wonderful lineup, and if you're listening out there and you want to come see some great solo theater, go to lawtf.org, that's Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival.org, and you can get tickets to our gala, to our other shows, to come see Kat and I co-host.
Awesome.
Yeah, it'd be a nice surprise what we're going to do, right?
Yeah, we're kind
you know,
of
I actually, well, Sky had invited me to, there was a presentation, I guess it was the awards gala, was it a couple of years ago?
And I went to that,
and then last year I took one of the workshops, actually, which was about, you know, the one woman solo performance and writing it. And I, even though I was already developing my show, that really helped me figure out the marketing aspects of it. So, yeah, when she told me that she wanted me to co-host, I said, I'm in. Thank God I'm in town, and let's do it.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity, and, you know, for women on all levels. Even men. Last year we performed our 20th anniversary at the Gay and Lesbian Center at the Renberg Theater.
Wonderful.
And we had Roger Guinevere Smith and, you know, an assorted collection of other male artists. Over the 21 years, we've produced over 400 solo female artists.
Wow.
Some of them are, you know, well-known people who've done their shows around the world, and some of them are just starting out. So, you know, when we do our educational days and, you know, various events, it inspires people on all levels.
It's wonderful.
It's going to be great this year. And I'm really excited to see the work, too, that they're doing.
Well, I love to see such an emphasis being put on solo performances.
Yeah, me too.
Did you have any idea, Sky, when you got here, that this was going to be a town where there was so much solo performance? Because there really is so much here.
No, I, you know, when you grow up on the East Coast surrounded by theater, you think L.A. is all TV and movies and Hollywood glamour, and I was really happy to find the avant-garde community and to start very early on working with Rachel Rosenthal. I actually, in my very first year here, took over a theater company for women, and I was the executive director of a company called the Women's Theater Company Los Angeles at the Hudson Avenue Theater in Hollywood.
Oh, I love that theater.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was really surprised and amazed that there was all kinds of theater happening over, you know, there's over 200 theaters, I think, in L.A., and such a fine quality of theater.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Center Theater Group. I go and see
me
a
too.
Lot of
too.
And they're doing a lot of solo works over the last few years at the Kirk Douglas Theater and even at the Mark Taper. And sometimes, you know...
Yeah, I just saw Christopher Plummer do his one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so lucky to be able to talk with Chris, and he told me that he had rewritten, I remember, like a whole section of the show, and it threw him, but nobody could tell. It was just little moments like that of getting to watch him do...
Right.
It was just amazing that he was able to write his own show and put it up. You
well,
know,
I
it
think
great,
it's so. Such a great way to get the essence of somebody, not only as a performer, but as a writer. I mean,
yes.
You really get somebody when you watch a solo performance, if they've written it themselves. I mean, sometimes people do other people's projects as solo performances, but there's just a different energy to it that's really magic.
Well, that's why working with Shelley, you know, I'm able to work with her because she's such a genius, especially with parodies and with comedy. And,
right.
And, but I'm able to work directly with her and make the changes I need and, you know, really guide her so we're doing it together. It really is a collaborative effort that way. And then if I can change something, just you know, if I don't feel something's right.
So. Right. Well, sometimes you need a writer to sort of be another set of eyes and ears.
Yes.
To help you, or a director that you work with very closely, to help sort of bring your essence out better so people get more of you. I think it's hard sometimes to step outside of you and look at you.
That's very
yeah.
true. I just took on a director for my show for the first time in many, many years. And, you know, going back to, it's kind of interesting how everything circles and how people are connected by, you know, those 6 degrees of separation.
Absolutely.
One of my very, very first inspirations, and I know that she's a great friend and inspiration to Kat also, is Lily Tomlin
yep.
in Search for Signs
sure.
of Intelligent Life in the Universe. And, you know, we all know that she didn't write that, you know, Jane Wagner wrote that material, but their collaboration and their union and their
sure.
lives together were so, you know, so jointed and so powerful that she was able to, you know, encapture all the characters and hand it to Lily on a plate and go, here, you know, and she was great. And I actually worked with Lily's old director, dramaturge, Irene Penn. When I was running the theater company at the Hudson, she was doing classes, and you know, we were working together. And then I got to see Lily for the first time in my life when she revived her show in San Francisco. I think it was about
yeah.
you know, 12,
mm-hmm.
13 years ago, and Lily actually wound up being my sponsor to become a board member of the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival, because she was honored many years ago by the LA Women's Theater Festival.
It's wonderful.
And so, you know, just following an inspiration and footsteps, I wanted to be able to give back also by being involved with an organization that has women, you know, express their voices.
Sure,
and
sure.
So it kind of all goes back to Lily.
Well, it does, because the funny thing is that I've been so fortunate to know Lily and to be able to work with her even on social issues and perform that special salute to her, and you know, even do appearances with her. And Sky came to the first premiere that I presented and that Lily hosted, Elephants and Man, A Litany of Tragedy. Mm. It was the first one I'd done with Lily, but it was the third one in my series. And, of course, all of her work and her television specials and all of her shows, especially The Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe, is a big inspiration for the show I'm currently doing. So the through line of that and the fact that it's a journey and a story where all the characters are interconnected is what I relate to so much, you know.
It's fantastic. Well, and how much of an inspiration
together.
Has Lily been for all people
so
who want
arts.
To do solo performances?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
before, people thought, okay, you're either an actor or you do stand-up. And this idea of doing a solo performance, which is actually very old, you know, Charles Dickens did it, Mark Twain
and
did
Ruth
it.
Draper, the idea. Ruth Draper, who was the inspiration for Lily.
Wow.
And probably the first woman to really pave the way. But Lily is really taken on the whole mantle for that. You
right.
know, she's
when
become
I,
the standard.
When I was in Iowa, people kept saying to me, you know, you should do Lily Tomlin's show, Search for Signs. And I kept saying, well, that's already been done, and that's her show.
Yeah.
I'm going to write my own show, and that's where I created Alien Rhoda. And it just so happens that we're, you know, both obsessed with aliens, and, you know, that theme leaks into our work constantly. Or maybe it's not a coincidence. But
yeah. Maybe it's aliens and clones, like Kat said.
Yeah.
Maybe the clones are aliens.
But
mine has a little alien theme, too, but you'll have to wait and see.
Oh,
it is,
wow.
But it's
see, there's aliens in everything.
Yeah.
And we're always talking aliens on this show.
Oh, good. Well, then we're in the right place.
Absolutely, you're in the right place. How did you get interested in the theme of aliens?
Oh, actually, you know, that... I think it's that I had a lot of dreams as a kid, and I grew up in that whole era when Star Wars had just come out. I was 5 years old, and I know Close Encounters for the Third Kind and Star Wars were the first movies I ever saw as a very, very young child, and I used to have recurring nightmares about the stormtroopers chasing me. I can't believe I'm telling you this on the air.
No, I'm loving it.
And so, I don't know, I think it was just kind of a consciousness. And then E.T. came out, and boy, that was it. And so, you know, I just, the theme of aliens in my theater work and my writings is very ambiguous and means a lot of things. And I like dealing with the theme of alienation, what it's like to be an alien.
Sure.
In my show, I talk about, you know, illegal aliens and all the different connotations that the word alien brings up. You know, I like to play every aspect of that. So it's not just extraterrestrials, but the idea of what it is to be alien, to be alone, to be... you know, in this world where we're all connected, yet somehow with technology we're so discombobulated and disconnected from each other.
Sure.
It makes you feel alien at times.
Well, I think everybody feels alien at times.
Well, we also, you know, I'm an anti-bullying activist and a motivational speaker, and Skye's very involved with anti-bullying as well, and all that fits in.
Sure.
With feeling like a misfit or not fitting in and being an alien, so it all it all goes together.
Well, what we were talking about earlier about the, you know, making our art outside the castle walls, there are those of us that just don't fit into the norm of whatever the world normal is. I'm not even sure what that is. But there are those of us throughout our lives that have been told, well, that's not normal, or that's not, that doesn't fit in. And I think now we're getting to a kind of a strange place where technology has informed us so much about what everybody else is doing that now we realize kind of nobody fits in. But when we were growing up, it was all about these kids fit in and these kids don't. And the beautiful thing about the arts is where it was where you found other misfit children that also didn't fit into whatever normal is. And I don't even know what that word means anymore. And you could really be yourself. I was just having a talk with a friend last night about this. You know, she lives in a very normal place and has a very normal life and has a child and spends her time with a lot of people that she feels she has nothing in common with. And she's like, I always feel so different. And I said, well, that's why I'm here in the arts. Because I always feel like I'm only as different as my next artistic friend, and we're all different. And I hope that, that through our art, we can sort of spread that message that has a lot to do with bullying as well, that everybody is equal, everybody is the same, and everybody sometimes feels like they don't fit in. When you see a kid that you think doesn't fit in, that could be you at some point. So, you know, everybody's weird. It's just some of our weird sticks out more.
It's great in the arts that the misfits are celebrated.
You know,
you wouldn't get that in mainstream society.
Yeah.
And especially with a solo show, you can put in your own voice and don't have to follow somebody else's theme. You
absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? That's the beauty of it.
I think you just encapsulated the whole drift of my show of Calling America Don't Hang Up, because basically, you know, what I think the show expresses is love thy neighbor for they are you.
Yeah.
I deal with so many isms. My show, just to be quick and tell you what
Please.
It's about, you know, the pitch is what happens when a pot-smoking Jewish lesbian punk rocker clown from New York goes to work for one of the most conservative think tanks in the nation.
Love it.
And it's based on my true life story of being kind of a spy in a very, very conservative think tank, which I won't name names for fear of getting sued, but in my play, it's called the Our Founding Fathers Foundation. And I actually raised money and was, amongst other not-for-profits that I was raising money for, this was one of the companies that I had a very prominent position in. So I got to learn a lot about politics from the other side, very, very right politics. And I'm a very, very left kind of person.
Sure.
And so in my show, I play Democrat and Republican and gay and straight and black and white and old and young and illegal immigrants versus, you know, Americans. And my show is about people who come from other worlds and other countries to find the American dream and may find out after being here that it's not all cracked up the way they think it is.
Right.
And you know, my basic message is, you know, hey, people, it doesn't matter if you're this or that. You know, we all need to come together and care about the planet and what we're doing, you know, to the environment and how
sure.
we're treating each other. Because when the big picture boils down to it, we are all the same. We are all connected. And, you know, if the animals die, we're going to die.
Right. If the oxygen runs out, we're all screwed.
If there's no water,
it's the end of the world.
Right. If we kill the plants, we're done.
Yeah. So my show is a plea to humanity, you know, just saying love each other and let's celebrate our differences and unite with our universality, because we're all in this together and we have to care about each other and love each other and treat each other with compassion, which is really hard in this technologically driven age, you know.
Yeah.
Well, mine has a universal theme too, so isn't that, you know, what we all strive to do? Mine's more music based, but it is about me wanting to have Sir Mick Jagger sing a duet with me on my CD of his solo material, which you have a copy of, and that's not the whole album, but that's a good part of it. But it's also about my journey in discovering myself, and he kind of represents, you know, the unattainable. All of us have a goal or a dream or a wish, and him being such an icon, you know, it may or may not happen. It's really about the people that I meet along the way on the journey and finding myself in the end. And there's a lot of a fantasy element to it.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah, it's really, I'm really excited to be able to do it.
Well, I think in so much of us, so many of us in this business, Kat, as we're on that quest for the thing in the arts we think we want, we look back over our lives and realize that the journey was our career. I mean, our you know what I mean? Our dream was the journey.
Yeah.
It's whether or not you get the thing you thought you were going to get when you were 21 or not.
Yeah.
That what becomes this amazing thing that becomes your arts career is what you did along the way to get there, and the people that you met along the way, and the journey in the end becomes the dream.
And the people that you've moved and you've touched along
yes.
the way, and the minds that you've changed, and
yes.
the, you know, the voices that you've expressed and exposed, and
yeah,
yeah, it really is all about the process. I have so much fun now just telling my stories and doing my characters and being on stage. You know, I do feel a certain pressure as an artist that we have a responsibility to make the world a better place.
Sure.
And that we have to use our arts and our talent to unite people and to spread our messages of love. But at the same time, to entertain is the greatest joy, to just make people laugh and
Absolutely.
Feel and get outside of themselves. I love that Kat's show is out of her imagination and her fantasy.
Yeah.
Mine comes from, you know, a lot of my material comes from real conversations on the phone and real people that I've met, some of them quite scary, some of them quite lovely, you know,
right.
but to pull out of your imaginations, like to pull from outer space and you know, and take something and put it in front of somebody like a birthday cake, like here.
Except for one of the characters who's based on Katharine Hepburn, my godmother and namesake. That's a real character who, when you see the show, is... you know, like the voice of reason or an alter ego. But the rest of them are all, like, they came and found me and spoke to me and whispered to me. And who
it's
knows
wonderful.
If they exist, but they're very, it's going to be fun. You know, I'm really proud of it.
That's wonderful. Should we play something? Because I've got your CD. What should
sure.
we do?
Well, Shine yeah. a Light is one of my favorite Rolling Stones songs.
Let's
I don't
do
know.
It.
I can't say it's going to end up in the show. I'm keeping all that.
I know you don't say anything. You're so good with secrets.
But I do record it, so
I need to take a class from Kat on how to keep secrets. I just start talking about projects and I just spill.
I told you she's so mysterious. She'll be like, I did a show, but I'm not going to tell you where it was or what happened.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I have a show coming up. I will tell you about that.
Exactly. Yes, I have to wait until she says this is the time I'm going to come on your show and actually talk about it. Before that, I'm just going to come on the show and then tell you I can't talk about it. All right. This is Shine a Light, and this is from Kat's album. It's the Sheena Metal Experience on LA Talk Radio. More with Sky and Kat and me right after this, right here.
Saw you stretched out in room 1009 with a smile on your face and a tear right in your eye. Couldn't seem to get a line. Every woman that you meet, and I
Sheena Metal Experience, LA Talk Radio. Kat Kramer doing Shine a Light. Beautiful. We don't know for sure if it's from her upcoming show or if there is an upcoming show or when it is, because Kat doesn't tell us anything until it's time for us to know.
Well, there will be an upcoming show. I'll, as soon as I know the exact dates and location, you'll
by
be the first to know.
Secret invite
yes.
only.
But we do know that this weekend is the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival, the 21st annual festival Giving Voice, and that on Saturday in the afternoon, Skye and Kat are hosting.
That's going to be so fun.
It will be.
Of wonderful yeah. solo performances. And what else? You've got something else going on. Right, Kat?
Well, yes, a fundraiser for animals. You know, I'm an activist there, and this is actually called All for Love Animal Rescue. It's a animal rescue group, and they're having a show called All for Love on April 13th at the Federal Bar, you know, at Sterling's, upstairs at the Federal in the NoHo District.
Love it.
And Mary Pat Davis and Richard Osborne are performing. I'm sure you've heard of them, and this is their animal rescue group.
It's wonderful.
My musical director, Shelley Markham. And I'll be performing on the same bill as the great Andrea Markovici, Sue Rainey, and Mark Winkler.
It's wonderful.
So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Shelley's
to
terrific.
Raise money. Oh, he's amazing.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love him. I see him at events all the time. I need to get him on the show. I think he's darling.
You should. He has a new CD that came out a couple months ago.
It's wonderful.
And he works with Andre all the time.
Yeah, I need
and
to get
him.
He
played my Lily Salute. So, you know, we
It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Good for you. And Skye, what do you have happening?
Oh, well, right now the biggest thing is the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival.
I like that about you.
I also was just involved this past weekend in helping to house manage and co-produce a gentleman by the name of Robert Patrick, who is a very, very dear man of the age of 76 who is very well known in the off-Broadway world, and he's the award-winning author of a play that played many years ago on Broadway called Kennedy's Children, and he part of his claim to fame is that he wrote the first play that a young Harvey Fierstein was cast in at age 19, and he's doing a one-man show in a teeny little space in Silver Lake called the Spirit Lake Studios. Spirit Studio in Silver Lake on Evan Street in Hyperion, and the name of his show is What Doesn't Kill Me Makes a Great Story Later, or The Suck in Success. And he talks about his life in the theater and all of the wonderful people he's come across, and stories of Lily Tomlin and Marlo Thomas and Shirley MacLaine and Julie Newmar and all the different people who's been an influence on his work and involved in his work over the years, and I would highly recommend it. There's two more performances this upcoming weekend, the same weekend as the LA Women's Theater Festival. But if you'd like to catch it, it's Robert Patrick, Saturday, March 29th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, March 30th at 7 p.m. You can get tickets at robertpatrick.bpt, as in brown paper tickets, .me.
I'll be there.
I love it. Yeah.
And as far as the
Skye looks shocked
All
by the end of
love,
that.
You can call 818-754-8700 to make reservations. It's a Sunday night at 7 p.m., but the dinner is before that.
Wonderful.
I hope you'll all come because that's, you know, for dogs, and it's a great group.
It's fantastic. Kat, where's the best place people can find you online?
Oh,
and will
boy.
You come back and see me again just to tell me
Very
that you won't tell me where the show is?
Each time I see you, Sheena, I'll give you a little bit of info.
Okay, I like that. I like that. That's a very smart way to get yourself back on the show a lot.
As I find out.
Good
no.
for you.
Well, my two websites, KatherineKramer.com and Kat Kramer's Films That Change the World.com, which is a fairly new website. Twitter, and then my four Facebook pages, Katherine Kramer, Kat Kramer, Kat Kramer's Films That Change the World, and the Katherine Kramer Fan Club group. And yeah. I don't run all of them, but they all have content.
I have
gotta,
four Facebook.
You've got to tell them that's Katherine with an A,
that's
not
right.
Katherine with an E, because an A is ah.
Did you know that that's one of the songs I'm going to be doing?
No.
Oh, I'm serious. I'll reveal no. that. I have one of the songs in my show is called Katherine with an A.
Oh, that's so funny.
It actually starts like
no,
that.
No, I'm
sure
channeling.
Yeah, she's
no, I haven't.
Have you been talking to
the... It starts like
I think you've been submitting some of your ideas to me through
Uh-oh.
Alien dreams.
I think Skye's been talking to the aliens.
I am
the
psychic.
Aliens can't keep
I really
Liza
know.
Liza with the Z parody.
Yes.
And
let me tell you.
I thought I invented that. See, that's in your show.
And just to bring the show all the way around, you show me an Aries, and I'll show you somebody with four Facebook pages, because I have four as well.
But now, you didn't ask what my sign is, because you guys were talking
Let
at the beginning
guess,
of the show.
Though, do I know your Scorpio?
No.
Leo?
No. Well, you were talking about Taurus. Multitasking as Aries, and I thought, are you kidding?
Multitasking.
You're not an Aries.
Are you a Virgo?
No.
I don't know.
Taurus.
I'm a Gemini.
That's multi-personality.
That's what I'm talking about.
Of course, yeah.
You can be in four places at once, and I can be in 47 places at once.
Wow. Yeah, nice Jewish girl from the Northeast / alien Rhoda.
Right. I am a Gemini, and...
Two people, maybe more.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's why I do 50 characters.
Yeah. Good for you. That's fantastic. Where can people find you online, Sky? Will you come back and see me again?
I'm the Delusional Diva, so you can very easily find me on all sorts of mediums by spelling Delusional Diva correctly, which is D-E, delusional with an E, not somebody's put me up on Facebook and said the Delusional Diva, like dill, like a pickle. I know a lot of people don't spell anymore. They hit spell check, but delusionaldiva.com. I'm on Facebook.com/delusionaldiva, Twitter.com/delusionaldiva. There was even once something on MySpace/delusionaldiva.
Fantastic.
She's all over the place.
I'm all over the internet. And you won't recognize me because every time you'll see a video, I have a different wig or a different
costume.
Oh,
that's your Gemini.
On.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And if you missed those links, SheetaMetalExperience.com, LATalkRadio.com, send me an email, and I will gladly forward the links over to you. It's the Sheena Metal Experience on LA Talk Radio, and you know what we do here, people. Every Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time, we rip the veil off the human sideshow and expose the creatures I like to call big old Homo sapiens at their most bizarre and every day always at their most beautiful. And it's true, it may be my show, and that may be why they call it the Sheena Metal Experience. Doesn't mean it's not always and forever, undoubtedly, indubitably, you know what I'm going to say, people. It may be my show, but it's most definitely and always forever your experience. Thanks for listening. Have a great night, and I will see you all tomorrow right here on LA Talk Radio.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.